And then Saturday, you have Northern Iowa versus Bradley up in Cedar Falls. That is a 4:30 pregame. The NFL Pro Bowl, we'll have to talk about that some. I'll save that tomorrow. Scott and I could talk about the Pro Bowl. I don't know why I want to talk about the Pro Bowl, but we're going to talk about the Pro Bowl. And then next Monday, a big game next Monday, Texas at Kansas. Big weekend this weekend with the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We'll talk about that here in a second as well, along with the Iowa men having a big game, winning a big game this weekend against Rutgers. Nicely done by them. Took care of all them. Who do I want to? I've done that one. We're going to do Northwest Bank. Taking care. Oh, hold on. We're going to talk about Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Northwest Financial Group earned Top Workplace Award for the 8th year in a row from the Des Moines Register. I can believe it. Got great people that work there. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand, which is all of us. I mean all of us, because as much as I love my Nana all the way down to my niece Mary, we always all have our phone in our hand. So you can be taking care of your banking on your mobile app with Northwest Bank. You can also take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Thank you very much. That first, they were the first advertiser of the show. Very special group of people. Okay, so once again, Brock Purdy has a torn UCL in his elbow. I think it's kind of what makes your elbow not fall apart and gives you numbness in your fingers. It's not a good thing. He showed his leadership by going back into the game, knowing that he wasn't going to do any more to it than already had been. He didn't want to see Christian McCaffrey get hurt. He didn't want to see Deebo Samuel getting hurt, doing things they're not used to doing. He's a good kid. And even in the man world of the NFL, I think that's going to matter with them. I also, Osai, the person who pushed Patrick Mahomes late out of bounds to move the ball up 15 yards. And for all those folks out there, listen, there's defensive and offensive holding on every play. Every play. It just depends on how good the people are at covering it up or not doing it, or how they, if it doesn't affect the play, they don't call it. You're going to get now the NFL, I think, announced their group that's going to do the Super Bowl. I think they throw the most. If you listen to some of the shows, I haven't done all my due diligence yet, so just take this with a grain of salt that I'm just doing it to make a point that they could be bringing in a refereeing crew that calls the most penalties. I don't think that's what people want to see either. They don't want to see a 4.5-hour game because they called 20 penalties on each side. There's a happy medium in there somewhere. The NFL has a officiating problem. They just do, and they have an officiating problem for two reasons. The first being that these are, when you think about, I was born in 65, so let's say, and you didn't have much on, let's say I started watching football regularly by the time I was 15, so 1980. The football players that were in the NFL in the 1980s would be kickers nowadays. I mean, and that's being facetious a little bit. But you back in 1980, 1984, take it to when I got out of high school, you didn't have NFL football players. You might had one here, one, my Ed Tuttle Jones, Mean Joe Green, that guys were big that could run. You have Reddick from, am I saying that right? That I hate that when I don't say that right. But the lineman that's the one that hit Brock Purdy. He had four sacks in like the first 3 minutes of the game. He's like 6'5", 6'6", and can run like crazy. Chris Jones last night, he's like 6'7". I mean, those were basketball players back in the 1980s, not football players. So the officiating gets hung up because they're such amazing athletes that are on the field. And everything that they do is down to... it's down to a gnat's butt, you know, of the plays they call and why they call them and how they pick here and how they pick there and how defenses scheme and how they make you try to think that they're going to come and rush the pass and they drop back into coverage and they do that. It's just a chess match. Every 30 seconds of the play clock, it's just a chess match after chess match with humongous athletic, crazy athletic people. It is not easy. Kudos to Brock Purdy for what he did. But the NFL has to figure something out. And you have to do it quickly. And some of the big things that were said today, and these come about every single time that we talk about that. Well, they, because all these referees have jobs. Scott Helverson is from Iowa, played football at the University of Iowa, went to Des Moines East for high school. He's a great East Sider, by the way. Love him. He's a referee. That's not his job. That's his hobby. And one of the things that the NFL, so here's what happens with the NFL and some of the things that went on this weekend. I used to think integrity of the National Football League was enough to cover all of our bases. And for the integrity of the National Football League, I think that, one, your refereeing crews should stay together, which they now do to the most part. You should have people, in case something happens, you should have backups for each team. And I believe deep down inside, since the last time I checked, owners are billionaires, and the NFL during the season could make upwards of $1 billion within the next couple of years if they're not already doing it and just not showing it. You can pay these officials to be full-time officials. If they want to work in the off year, not during football time, that's great. If they have some downtime, that would be a great time to start bringing in new people and taking them through of what it takes to be an NFL referee. I think you should have NFL referees that are full-time paid employees with benefits. And I think then after you do that, then you hold these crews accountable. They're a part of the National Football League, and you hold them accountable as you hold coaches accountable and players accountable to make sure that things are done correctly. I do believe that the NFL should have two people in the booth up above and one person downstairs, so I think the crew needs to get bigger. I think they should have two people up, one looking on offensive side, one looking on defensive side to check, to go through all these check and balance things, and one on the sideline that they communicate with, who then communicates with the head referee. And after every play, not every play, if you have a running play or you have a pass play that goes out of bounds, those plays are good. If you have that type of system in hand, then Devontae... not Davante Adams. Jalen Waddle. Was that? Nope. Jalen Waddle's with the other. Who am I thinking? It's my Eagle guy. Devontae Smith. There it came. Told you. Devontae Smith. They would have somebody from upstairs as soon as they saw the play, and they should be able to be in a place where they can, even if they have to bring their own equipment, they should be in a place that they can see all these TVs and make calls. Could have seen from camera angles within a certain amount of time. So as soon as play's done, you can start heading back to the huddle, and then they'll kick it through. If you have a question or you think it's questionable, you buzz down and you start looking at it. Is it going to make games longer? Yes. Why do we have to do that? Now, here's the answer to your question. And I would love to tell you it's for people like Steen here, Scott at work today, going to be in here tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's for our enjoyment of watching NFL. And I wish that was the reason, but it's not. And I guarantee you there's some out there right now shaking their heads. Yep, here it comes. If they continue to do some of the things that they're doing right now, the little places that are big places in Vegas and on, you know, on apps and all that, that are taking hundreds of millions to billions of dollars in bets, are going to start going to these people saying, you guys have to do something because we're losing the integrity of our bets. If you have an outrageous play that nobody took time to look at, and it cost 7 points, and it went from us winning 65 to 35, and it turned out that we lost 55-45, you just cost me $8 billion. And I'm not in the business to lose $8 billion. And it's an issue, folks. It's an issue in every sport that's bet. The integrity of that sport has to be above and beyond. I'm telling you right now that watching a collegiate football game, and don't tell me that they don't have enough money, because the NCAA makes a ton of money on these athletes. And to be really truthful, some of it should drop down to the people who own the stadiums and have in the games. There should be a way that the NCAA, with all their crews, once again, not full-time crews, they all have jobs, I get it, but they have to have enough confidence in each one of them that there has to be one guy, and I think you have to rotate them. There has to be a guy that sits up in the booth and is looking at replay and calls down to his people, because he's part of the team, and tells them, we missed that call, here's the right call, here's the down, here's the mark, and all that, instead of having in a multi-billion dollar business, even of college football. So we're not looking at a 5x7 screen to figure out if somebody was out of bounds by a millimeter. It's embarrassing. And for all of you out there that think that that's just because I'm a homer, and it's because I want college. No, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with me, because I don't understand why they do what they do. Why in the world would you bring a television screen out that looks no bigger than my phone to try to figure out an outcome of a game that matters to everybody? But once again, guess who it matters the most to? The second most bet thing in sportsbook. Well, actually the third, because I still think horse betting's one. I think football's two, and I think collegiate football is probably three, and that's it. We can't have games have outcomes that are different because some head guy was looking at a 3x5 screen trying to figure out if his foot was in bounds or not. That's what's going to change these games, is the gambling people are not going to sit back and say, yeah, we're okay with what you're doing. There's no integrity problem here. There's a huge integrity problem there. There's a huge integrity. When you watch games, and I watch enough basketball and football of teams that I have no interest in whatsoever. I just like to watch. And you can watch a basketball game And you can see that, okay, throughout a game, okay, we've called 6 fouls on this team and we haven't called any on that team. So you go through a 2-minute stretch where now instead of it being 6-1 maybe, now before you get into the last 4 minutes a half, it's 6-5. Or how much do they get influenced by people when they're on a home court that has a loud crowd? I think it has to matter. I don't understand how watching two different games on two different TVs and nothing's being called the same and all these guys go through the same stuff. I was watching the Iowa women's game and I was watching Iowa State and Missouri, and you couldn't have been any different. And I get women's basketball, men's basketball. I can take it even a step further and I can say I was flipping through and watching all the Big 12 SEC games back and forth. And you cannot tell me that there was any consistency between any of the games that you were watching. No matter how many athletes, no matter how many non-athletes, how many anything, the consistency in the calls that were being made were non-existent. It's such an integrity. It's an integral part of the game. And you have to be able to call fouls. But you cannot be lopsided, one-sided, or call here and don't call there. Or, hey, I called that the last time, but I'm not calling it. Or, hey, I let that go. I'm not going to let it go this time. It's killing sports. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Going to talk a little Iowa State basketball next.
Here's a look at Trap, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Wednesday night, you're going to get Northern Iowa at Drake, 7:30 pregame. So that'll be your live for that. What else do I have here? I have right here, right in front of my face, Des Moines Orthopedic Center is helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. 3 locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, downtown Des Moines, or a little bit outside of downtown Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Their urgent injury clinics are open at both their Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Wait times you can look online for at dmos.com. Hours, West Des Moines, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday. Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Ankeny is Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, 8 to noon. West Des Moines opens up a little bit later, stays open a little bit later. Ankeny opens up earlier and closes earlier. The difference between urgent care and emergency rooms is severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, go to the emergency room. If the condition is not, and especially if you're out and you've hurt something, exercising, doing yard work, playing sports, go to these urgent Des Moines urgent injury clinics. They will take care of you. The people taking care of you, that's their specialty. Use it. New to DMOS is Engineer Performance by DMOS. World-class sports rehab and performance training in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. Also have a location in Huxley as well. That is a really cool part. It's one of those things that we're going to dive deeper into with DMOS in these next few months. So, wanted to talk a little bit about the basketball games from this past weekend. The first game that we got to watch, and this is when I say we, it's like Nana and Jen and I were watching basketball. Nana loves to watch basketball. Nana loves sports. We watched Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeye women play Nebraska. Nebraska played tough for a 12-9 team, 2-6 in the conference. They played tough. tough, tough basketball. Just kept coming back. Iowa still without Warnock, which hurts. I mean, that takes something out of the rotation, so they have to bring somebody else into the rotation. It doesn't make Stolke be as good because she has to play different minutes in different spots. Caitlin Clark, a one assist away from another triple-double, had 33 points, 5 of 12 from three-point line. Still a team win. Shizano had 17. Molly Davis had 5. Marshall had 7. Kelly Martin had 6. Stolke, like I said, she had 12. Another good win. They're 17-4, 11-1. I think that moved them up. I know they're inside the top 10. I haven't seen if they put if the women's, let me see if rankings are out since I've already talked about that. The Iowa State women with a huge win this past weekend. Once again, and I'll hit that here in just a second as well. Hold on. Sorry. So Iowa is in the new rankings. Iowa is 6. Iowa State is 12. Iowa State is 15-4. Iowa is 17-4. Iowa State took care of Oklahoma, which was a huge game for them because they split those now. They lost at Oklahoma 82-79. They beat Oklahoma at home 86-78. That's a huge win for them. They also 15-4 and are them and Texas are atop the leaderboard in the Big 12, and they have a matchup. Well, they lost to Texas 68-53, and they get Texas at home 4 games from now. So both of those really good wins, a huge win for Iowa State getting back that win from against Oklahoma. The Iowa Hawkeye men beat Rutgers at home 93-82, high-scoring game. They were up 11. They were up 11 at half, 48 points in the second half. Defense kind of went away. Offense came about once again, led by Chris Murray. Aaron Euless with a huge game, 16 points, only one turnover, 2 steals, 1 assist, a rebound. Shot well. It is a comeback game for Patrick McCaffrey. Played 13 minutes, went 3 of 5 from the field, 3 of 3 from 3-point land, a couple rebounds, couple assists, a steal, a block. Nice to have him back. It matters. Josh Dix keeps getting 11 minutes. Another good spot for him. One of the things that they're struggling with right now, Flip Rebecca has been getting into foul trouble lately. Fouled out of the game, only played 20 minutes. When they get into the tougher part, not like Rutgers is not a tough part because they're very good, but you are going to have to get more minutes out of him. Chris Murray exactly did what he usually does. He went 8 for 16 from the field, 7 of 9 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds and assist, a steal, 3 blocks. Just an all-around great game. Connor McCaffrey again being the glue that he is. 11 points, 6 assists, no turnovers. It's just a steady team. Iowa State went down and played Missouri. They were down 10 at half. They ended up losing by 17. Missouri is 16-5. They are fun to watch. If that game's played in Ames, it's probably a little bit different story. No Caleb Grill, not being a Big 12 game, having a Big 12 game tonight. They did not play Caleb Grill. I don't even think that Caleb Grill traveled with them, but I don't know that for sure. But I did see that he was down at Texas Tech for tonight. Hopefully he gets to play. I think Jazz is still a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, right in that general range of maybe getting to start practicing and coming back. For, you know, if he gets back towards the end or for the Big 12 tournament, that's a huge deal. That's a glue guy that needs to happen. Watching Missouri was a lot of fun. Just athletic and defended. They defended like we defend. Just they had some athletes. My goodness. Kauscher still played well. Holmes played well. Taman Lipsey, for what he was going, 6 assists, 4 boards. King had a good game. Osunie had 8. Robert Jones had 6. I am not going to allow. And I get, I the people, they and Watson had 2, but he had 4 rebounds. He had a couple of assists, a steal, a couple of blocks. It is just, it's getting fun on what we're seeing. You have some people that, Big Rob Energy. I love Big Rob Energy. I love the human more than the basketball player. The basketball player is just gravy. He played 16 minutes. He had 6 points. He had 8 boards. He had 2 steals. He had 2 turnovers and 2 personal fouls. And you would think that he was the worst thing. We have to be careful when, especially for local teams on both sides. If we haven't learned anything from Patrick McCaffrey, which we should learn a lot, being an elite Division I sports performer, athlete, is not easy. Especially when you have 35 and over people yelling and screaming at them because they're not doing what we want them to do, even though we have no chance in Hector that we can do what we want to do. It's one thing if you're sitting in your house and you're yelling and screaming at the TV. Been known to do that. It's a whole nother thing when you're at a complex and watching a sporting event and you're doing the same thing. Take a chill pill. Even with name, image, and likeness, these dudes aren't professional players. They're not getting paid. They're college students. It's even worse because I hear it when you go to high school games. They're high school kids. I'm amazed when I look back at high school. I was amazed. I got myself to school, got my through school, even though I wasn't there for very much because I worked outside of school. And you kind of got to do that. And then you have to come back and you have to go through practice. And the practices were not fun. For 2.5 hours a day. And then you come out and you have people scream at you because you can't make a shot. I'm like looking at people going, I mean, this is, I am so much calmer now. This is a kid, I'm ready to run up in the stands and say, seriously, come out here and say it or come out here and show me that you can do this. Kids that are playing basketball in college at the D1 level, at the D2 level, at the D3 level. NAIA. I don't care. You cannot do what they can do. And trust me, if I hear it sometimes, I'm gonna take a picture of you. I'm gonna see where you work, and I'm gonna take Big Rob with me, and we're gonna come heckle you at your work. There you go. Or Chris Murray or Connor McCaffrey. You definitely do not want Connor McCaffrey and me coming and heckling you. It will not be pretty. We just have to get better than that. Some of the people saying today that Brock Purdy's not tough and why couldn't he have stuck it out? Not one person that said that on social media should, number one, they should be ashamed. And number two, not one person had any idea in the world what he was going through. None. It's something that happened that putting ice on it isn't going to make it better. Putting heat on it's not going to make it better. Shooting his arm up wasn't going to make it better. He couldn't feel anything below his elbow. I think that might be the first rule of Fight Club. If you can't feel anything below your elbow, you probably shouldn't be fighting. We have to be better. We need to be better. And it's not that hard to be better. I was watching the end, I can't even remember who the Lakers were playing. They were playing the Boston Celtics. And LeBron James didn't get a call. And I came in like 3 minutes before then that Jason Tatum didn't get a call on the other end. And Jason Tatum ran back down and blocked a shot. LeBron James, now the quarter was over. LeBron James was flinging himself around the court and on his hands and knees begging God to call a foul. Ended up losing in overtime. It's not a good fit. I'm thinking of Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And LeBron James is an amazing human being. He's been at this a long time. He's going to be the leading scorer in the NBA because he's been at it a long time. And he has a running mate in Anthony Davis, who I think is a magnificent basketball player who cannot stay healthy. That's what happens when you're athletic and you can do the things he can do at 7 feet tall. Your legs and your ankles and your toes and your feet don't cooperate. But I watch that team, and I'm not saying I don't like Russell Westbrook as a human or Patrick Beverley as a human, but as two basketball players on the team, they do absolutely nothing but just damage the Los Angeles Lakers. NBA, much worse than watching NFL wide receivers and linemen and defensive linemen who are saying I'm being held on every play and they're pushing off on every play and blah, blah, blah. NBA basketball players are just as bad. And it's getting to a point where they're losing the collegiate basketball player and referees and the amount of things that players think that they can get away with saying to people that are there to officiate. They're not there to watch you play. They're not there to do, they're officiating. Because if we played make it, take it, nobody would be watching college or NBA or high school basketball. They're there to officiate. I've learned in my old age, my ripe old age of 57, it doesn't do you any good to yell at referees. It doesn't do you any good to yell at umpires. When I've refereed games, and I've refereed a few, if you were barking at me, I would call less for you and more for them. If they're barking at me, I'd call less for them and more for you. They're human. They make mistakes. You're talking about, I was refereeing back in the early 90s. And now you're talking about, I mean, people that you never even thought would be playing basketball, 7 foot people who can dribble, drive, dunk. 7'4" people who can drive and dunk and shoot three-pointers. There's no way that referees and all of us can stay up with that kind of athleticism. You just got to let the flow go and you got to accept it. What a great day. We've talked Super Bowl. We've talked NBA a little bit. We've talked college basketball. I got potpourri coming up for the last segment. I can't believe it's the last segment already. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Last segment of this Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. We have you and I at Drake 7:30 on Wednesday. Thursday, Oregon at Arizona 9:15. That's a late game. Staying up late, you can listen to that one. It's going to be a really good game as well. Northern Iowa versus Bradley 4:30 up in the Unidome. You'll hear it here. We are a you and I affiliate. Sunday, you get the NFL Pro Bowl. Scott and I will talk about the Pro Bowl tomorrow. We'll see what we think of the Pro Bowl. I don't want to get out there on my own. Next Monday, you're going to get Texas at Kansas. Huge game for the Big 12. Every game is a huge game for the Big 12. A lot of really good teams battling it out. This last segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Provides the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services throughout. Heritage is a future-focused and driven by technology company to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, and provide a peace of mind in protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about the cleaning and the future of janitorial services with Heritage Building Maintenance. Thank you very much. So thank you again to my sponsors, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Could not do this show without you. Okay, so a little bit of potpourri. This is the thought process. This is Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic. The kind of the thought process tonight of Iowa State. Iowa State either grabs an elusive road win to maintain possession of first place in the toughest conference in America, or it loses to a team who hasn't won a Big 12 game yet. Sounds excruciating. Go Clones. that's how we all feel. Part of my potpourri here, just fun things that I saw today. Kurt Warner. I love Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner on the radio, outstanding. Greg Olson in the booth, outstanding. I feel sorry for Greg Olson because whenever Tom Brady comes, and I don't think it's going to be next year, and I'll touch on that here in a second, Greg Olson's going to keep that, and Kurt Warner on the radio was amazing. You know you're old when you've done some things in games, He's a Hall of Famer. And still covered the NFL, but current players have no idea who you are. And when you come up to say hello, they don't know. It's always a humbling experience, but reminds me it's time to make my mark in another area. And that is, could he continue to do what he's doing? Because it's working on the radio. It's really good. Each of the last 16 quarterbacks to lose in their first Super Bowl debut. Let me say that again. Each of the last 16 quarterbacks to lose in their Super Bowl debut have never made it back to the big game. Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Rex Grossman, Matt Hasselbeck, Donovan McNabb, Stan Humphries, Neil O'Donnell, Drew Bledsoe, Chris Chandler, Steve McNair, Kerry Collins, Rich Gannon, and Jake Delhomme. What a 16. And now add Joe Burrow. But he has a lot of time left. He has a ton of time left. If you have not seen, go to the Philadelphia Eagles page and go to Nick Sirianni's press conference as he's talking and see his daughter on his left making facial expressions and hand gestures and mimicking what he's saying. It's the funniest thing that I've seen. He finally takes a look at her. She kind of puts her head down. It was amazing. The NFL have formed teams that the 2023 salary cap will be $224.8 million. That's a $16.6 million increase for each of the 32 teams. Do your math. The NFL had a really, really, really good year. A really good year. Okay, here's the luckiest man in the world after thinking you had the worst day in the world. The worst day in the world is you are the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. They pay you a lot of money. And they also pay Dan Quinn a lot of money, who's the defensive coordinator. And you have an offensive head coach that used to call all of his own plays. And they don't want to spend money. So what do? They cut Kellen Moore loose. And in cutting Kellen Moore loose, at the same time, pretty much putting most of the blame on Kellen Moore. Dallas's defense didn't play very well, and Mike McCarthy has a track record of not doing very well, and you are at the Cowboys. So people are thinking, boy, that's going to be the last of Kellen Moore. Boy, that's too bad. Yet Kellen Moore today, out of being unemployed for less than 8 hours, probably less than that because you have to get work through contract, is now the offensive coordinator for Justin Herbert. Okay, let me think. And I'm sorry, T. I know you're a Cowboys fan, but if I had to choose between Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott, I think I would love to be the offensive coordinator to Justin Herbert. And I don't have to listen to Jerry Jones every day. I think, but I also have Brandon Staley as my head coach. So I don't know if it's totally better, but man, do I have an upgrade in quarterback. And once this happened, then conventional wisdom changed in the NFL to saying, well, we don't think Kellen Moore was the problem, but it was just an unattainable situation for him with the Cowboys. It's a lot of big words to say, yeah, I had no idea. This is one that I've thought about all day, and I want your guys' opinion. You can hit me up on social media. Who should get to claim? Oh, T. T's listening. Can't argue. He wants to argue. I bet you T would have traded Kellen Moore for Justin Herbert. Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott for Justin Herbert. That would have been a good trade. Who do you think should be able to claim Jalen Hurts? Alabama or Oklahoma? See, I think that's easy. Alabama got rid of me, and I went to Oklahoma, and I won. I'm thinking Oklahoma is the only one that gets to claim him. See what people think. Yesterday, to understand what the Kansas City Chiefs did yesterday against a Cincinnati Bengal team that leading up to the game was favored. I don't know what the final one was because I didn't look. I just took the under. I took the under in that game. I took the under in the other game, thinking this is no way these teams are going to score on each other as much as what was out there. In this game, and this is from Lewis Riddick from ESPN, who, by the way, I love listening to. I have no idea if he was a great general manager, but, man, he can speak it, and I love listening to him. The Chiefs lost three of their wide receivers, their best corner, and a starting linebacker during the game, on top of their quarterback playing on one good ankle, and their tight end not knowing until right before the game if he was going to be able to run, let alone play tight end in a playoff game. And Patrick Mahomes, still threw for 326 yards and two touchdowns against a pretty good Cincinnati Bengals team. Cincinnati's Bengals defensive team, the Cincinnati Bengals offensive team, had an off day. I mean, you have to give Steve Spagnuolo credit, man. He took Cincinnati out of their game. And that's, I don't know. It was a great game to watch. It was a much better game. And now, once again, if you haven't heard, Brock Purdy has a torn ulnar muscle. It's what controls the feeling in your wrist and your hand. So you don't have the ability to throw. And this is what you need to know about a Mr. Irrelevant getting paid $700,000 a year, went to his coach and said, "Don't worry, coach. I'll go out there and I will hand the ball off. I'll do whatever I can do to still try to help this team." That's why you keep kids like that. And speaking of that, so let's do a dive into this because it's going to be out there, and it's going to be out there pretty big. Listen, so now you have a torn ulnar, which is 6 months, 6 to 8, let's say, just in case. Trey Lance just had his second surgery on his ankle. Will start rehabbing closer to, you know, when they start having official workouts and stuff. And Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be traded because Jimmy Garoppolo is not coming back to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, if you're Kyle Shanahan and you have an offense and what you need is a quarterback that you can trust to get you maybe from point A to point B or further, and you have somebody out there who's available who doesn't have any financial ties to anybody, so you don't have to give up anything. He's just a free agent. What does Tom Brady look like behind a really good San Francisco line, a really good running game, a really good passing game, deep receivers, middle receivers, tight end, a tight end that is as close to Gronk as you could get to being Gronk without being Gronk? I think that's a perfect fit, and I think it's going to happen, and I think a lot of people think it's going to happen. Last one, one of my favorite actors, and not just from Hoosiers, from a whole bunch of things, Gene Hackman, 93. Gene Hackman, great, great, great actor. Love him. All right, you're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott tomorrow. Wednesday, the same. Brooks Reynolds coming in studio. Yeah.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.